is the John Richardson Show.
With John Richardson.
Hello and welcome to the John Richardson Show podcast with Angela Barnes.
Hello.
Thank you for downloading. Thank you for the naughty cat emails that came in off the back of last week's show. There are more of those this week.
People love cats.
People love cats, They're horrific thieves.
Yes.
Murderous, callous thieves. I mean, you could do a whole series of Midsummer Murders around some of these scumbags.
Oh, keep that in the tank, John.
Cat Midsummer Murders?
Yeah.
Do you think that's a thing?
Yeah, I reckon.
Okay. Or maybe we'll do some like Midsummer Murders. Or maybe we won't.
Cheddar George could do it. It's like a Cats Does Countdown crossover. Cats Does Midsummer Murders.
Hang on. People merge two things. Has everyone ever merged eight things on telly? I can read the reviews now. It was too much. It was unclear what was going on. We had, fair to say, one of our most memorable voice notes this week from a listener.
Yes.
During the literal police.
Yeah, in fact, you've asked for a copy of it to take home.
I'm just going to have it broadcast. It's the wonderful Corinne gets in touch. Yes. Listen out for that one. That's very special. And very lenient this week, actually, in the literal police. So just to prove that we've got a nice side.
Yeah, and surprisingly lenient.
Yeah, it was good cop this week.
Yeah.
So next week, I'm going to be very brutal. And the most I've ever laughed on air, I think.
Oh, my goodness me. Will took our breath away on air today.
Yeah, a link that ended because I was in pain and I just needed a little break. So thanks for downloading. Enjoy that. We'll see you after.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
Good morning. It's Absolute Radio. It's John Richardson with Angela Barnes.
Hello.
How's things?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Good.
Yeah, I am actually.
Sound like you're trying to convince yourself.
I am absolutely. Yeah, I'm fine actually.
You surprised yourself by being all right.
I've had a nice morning. I don't want to do smugness too early, but I had the joy of arriving at the building and taking the stairs, and arriving before the person who got the lift. And we both knew.
Oh,
there was a bit of eye contact.
Nice. Did you see them come out of the lift?
Oh yeah.
When you were up there. Oh, that's.
I was
such
passing
a
the lift as they came out, and there was a little. Yeah, well, you know, perhaps you should have gone the way I went, mate.
We're only on the second floor, aren't we? So, you know, it's not...
I know, but I'm only little. I've practically got to abseil some of those stairs.
Those stairs are two stairs to
They're
you, aren't
big,
they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. It's just the size of stair where if I try and do two at a time, I do a little... There's a little noise that comes out. Right, let's catch up on what happened last week, if you weren't with us. It's what we call the unfinished business, because we are the tidiest, if not the cleanest show on radio. So this about sums up what was going on last week, if you weren't with us.
I think we're very good in England at overcomplicating matters and making life more difficult than it ought to be.
There'll be people who think that's you.
That was me. That was me correctly predicting the demise of the English cricket attack.
Are you still feeling sad? Or have you got over it now?
No, because, and this is why, when people tell me I'm miserable, I say, yes, but when the bad thing happens, I won't be as upset as you, because you were foolish enough to believe it might not go that way.
I've said that before. If you're a pessimist, you're never disappointed.
Absolutely. I watched that cricket, and do you know, there was something about watching a one-armed man try and, I don't know if you saw it, Angela.
I didn't. Funnily enough,
Chris Wilkes had to come back out having sustained an injury. So
right.
He has his arm, I'm going to use it, literally in a sling.
Ooh.
Underneath his jumper. And
oh
every
goodness.
Time he has to run, he gets to the end and goes, oh, and looks like he's going to vomit with
so
pain.
He's batting with an arm in a sling.
It was more that he couldn't even move without being in agony. That was the bit that made you think, this feels like it's going one way. So I switched off, actually, with, I think it was the sixth wicket that went down. I thought, this is going to end badly. And I was right.
So is it because he insisted on keeping on playing that they lost?
No, he didn't. I think he would have rather been maybe in a doctor's surgery.
So
or
why
certainly.
Wasn't he? Can you not substitute in cricket like you can in football? So what would have happened if he'd just gone?
I think we would have had to forfeit, I guess, if we couldn't field the final batsman.
Oh, okay. In that case...
Which
I
might
mean...
have been a more noble end, to be honest. To just say, his arm's hanging off, you can have this one. Then it could have been really... If you want it that badly, that you're going to make a one-armed man come out against his will in agony, then you have it, lads. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. He's crying now. You enjoy it.
So what I've learned today is cricket is not only dull, but cruel.
Oh.
Wow.
Now, what also happened last week is I admitted in advance to a potential crime I'd committed, I was quoted in a press release having said that comedians at a benefit show I put on had travelled from literally all four corners of the UK. Mm. We had a discussion about it. We decided with your help that I was probably okay.
Well, we did initially until I was proved wrong.
Yes. Paul has joined the debate on whether England is the land of angles because of the people or because it has angles in it. Let's see what Paul has to say.
Hi, John. I know you fessed up to a potential literal crime last week, saying people came to support your charity gig from literally all four corners of the country. Well, I have to back you up on this one and say that, in my opinion also, there are four corners to the country. However, if you'd said all four corners of the globe, it would be a very different story. Mm. It's a huge issue for me when people say they came from all corners of the globe. It's a globe, John, and therefore devoid of corners. Glad to get that off my chest. Thanks, John. Paul from Swindon.
He's absolutely right.
I love it. Love it.
And he's from Swindon, so he knows about round things, not having corners, because of those roundabouts.
Magic roundabout, yeah. Absolutely.
Which I'm still scared of.
So I'm pleased to have the support, especially when it comes from Swindon. I appreciate that. And you're happy with that as well?
I'm ecstatic with that, yeah. He's backing me up, so, yeah.
Lovely. All right, well, we're all in agreement then. We're all friends.
Lovely.
Let's not check social media. Now, I was clear last week that I wanted... we even called the podcast that week, The End of Stones, because I didn't want any more... gallstone chat, having seen one. The discussion last week did end up on the size of stones.
Yes.
And we were sent a picture of one resting on a little ruler, as if I wouldn't deny it.
I don't know about you, I've seen that every time I've closed my eyes this week.
I can see it with my eyes open. It's there the whole time. Anyway, Helen has some help on stone size.
Hi, John and team. It's Helen here. I know gallstones featured a lot on last week's show, and there was a lot of curiosity around what they look like. Well, I had my gallstones removed through surgery in 1984. And just to let you know, the largest stone was the size of a bird's egg, probably a quail's egg size, to give you a posh southern reference. Inside, they are like a crystal, but a dull green colour. Hope that gives you further info. Thanks.
I feel a bit sick.
Wow.
I've got a bird's egg in me.
A quail's egg. I thought she said a crow's egg initially. I thought, have I been mispronouncing crow my whole life? Absolutely.
Imagine finding that out now on the radio.
Angela's had her MRI.
I have, yeah.
Pending, that's to find out how big the stone is that's in there?
To find
out,
and basically, well, it was the way the surgeon described it. He said, when I do the surgery, everyone's insides are different, so we'll do an MRI so I know where your bits are.
They're not that different, though, are they, that a doctor...
Well,
I've never seen a kidney up there before.
Well, apparently they can be. Like, the tubes can be... And I'd rather, when he cuts into me, he knows where my gallbladder is.
Wow.
Than just, as a guess, goes roughly there.
That's remarkable. I didn't know that everyone's insides are unique.
Yeah.
Mine aren't,
yeah,
surely.
He showed me on a little diagram and he said, you know, this bit here can sometimes be down there and...
That,
you know,
feels
like that.
Something I should have been told at school. I was learning diagrams.
I don't think it's like, oh my God, my kidney's where my heart should be. I don't think it's that radical.
I've got a heartbeat in my leg. Is that normal?
But I'm having like keyhole surgery, so I suppose they need to know where to make the little slits to put
yes.
the things
I guess
in.
It's not keyhole surgery if they spend five or six girls looking for it.
Yeah, exactly. Just slash you across the middle to go, where is this thing?
Oh, well, that's... So, yeah. How was the MRI all right?
It was all right. I'd never had one before. And people sort of... give you the fear about them a little bit, but
yeah.
It was I'm not very good at lying still. That's the problem. I'm a bit fidgety. Okay. So if you noticed this about me,
I had one. I was surprised that you aren't strapped down more.
Yeah, I mean, my arms were strapped down, but my legs, because they were doing my abdomen, so I had my legs raised a bit, and I was in there for about, I don't know, 45 minutes or so. And there was a point where I could feel my legs, like, they're going to twitch and there's nothing I can do about it, you know.
Did you have the itch sort of, fear? Like, what if I've got an itch?
Yeah, because they have you have headphones on and they tell you when to breathe in and breathe out. And every time I breathed in and then had to hold it, I'd be like, what if they forget to tell me to breathe out? So every time I panicked, I kept going, what if I just, this is it now and I don't ever breathe out?
That would be a very good comedy sketch. Just them on a coffee break, like 20 minutes later. What were we doing? Oh, my God. She's still in there. Well, you can breathe freely now. Absolutely. Yeah. You breathe as much as you want. I saw something remarkable this week, which I will tell you later. I think it's one of the most confident things I've ever seen.
Oh, really?
We were talking this morning before the show about your wonderful bit about the confidence of the young.
Well, I saw a young person in a hairdresser tell the hairdresser they didn't like what they were doing. And yeah. That's not how it works, is it? You're supposed to sit there, try not to cry, give them a tip.
Yeah.
Walk home. That's
what I go for every time we talked about. It's a very intimate relationship, the hairdresser, isn't it? Because you never quite mention it, but you do go to the same one.
Oh, yeah.
In a way that I don't in other situations. There is a sort of... There's a slightly romantic element to it.
I had a weird situation. So the hairdressers I go to, which are brilliant and I love them, but I always went to the same guy. And then there was one time I really needed my roots doing. I think I was doing some telly or something, so I really needed him doing, but he was away on holiday. And I went to this woman instead. And then I just started, and now I always go to her, and I've been going to her for years, but the other guy's still there. And it's never sort of been addressed, like, why did you ditch me for her?
Mm.
But it just sort of happened, and then I just carried on booking her, and now I've been seeing her for years.
Oh,
but it's a bit weird, isn't it? Because I
talk
sort of
about
ditched
you.
Him, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Because the implication is that the new person is better.
They're both great.
No, that's
Adrian and Alice, you're both great.
No, Adrian's better, right?
No, Alice is the current one.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
But they're equally... Oh, I feel terrible.
Yeah, I wish I still had roots to attend to. Anyway, the confident thing, I was in a shopping centre yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Because I, you know, go out and, like, just enjoy stuff.
Just hang.
Yeah,
just
it was me and
the
mate for an iced coffee that was £6. Oh,
what sort of coffee was it?
Normal.
What?
Disappointing. For £6 in a plastic cup.
What shopping centre were you in?
Plastic cup.
Was it in London?
I was in Hayes Galleria at London Bridge.
Oh, well, there you go.
Have you been?
Yeah.
Have you? So have you seen what is in the middle of Hayes Galleria?
I haven't been for a long time.
This blew my mind. In the middle of Hayes Galleria, there's like a little courtyard with very expensive coffee shops that you have to order on an app, even though you can't get good signal in there. Anyway, don't get me started. I had a lovely time. It was nice to catch up with a friend.
Lovely.
In the middle of Hayes Galleria is a paddle court with people playing paddle in front of hundreds of strangers.
What?
Confidence of it.
Was Manford there? He loves a game of paddle.
He does love a game of paddle.
I can't imagine a game of paddle without Manford being in it.
He'll get it. I'm sure I bet you he's been there.
Yeah.
I bet you he's been there. The exhibition, I would rather go to a nudist beach, yeah. I think, than play paddle.
Play any sport with people watching.
In the middle of a shopping centre.
Oh, no.
And the confidence of some of them. So the ones that knew they were good.
Oh,
it made me feel sick. I couldn't handle, because I thought either they're confident enough that they just don't mind.
Mm.
The only way I could cope was to imagine it was a bit like Mad Max and that it was a punishment. That these people had like wandered away from the commune or something and that they were forced to play paddle in front of people. £6.50. Not one of them fell over. £6.50 for a coffee. All I wanted was a ball to their face, something.
Did you find yourself drawn to watching them? Because I think even if I was, you know, having a conversation with somebody, if that was going on over there, I'd be drawn to watching it.
Well, it's a particularly loud noise as well, paddle, because it's basically children's tennis, isn't it? Let's be honest. No offence, Jason, but it's tennis for kids.
Big ping pong.
It's a big bouncy ball and a big flat paddle, like table tennis, and you whack it and it goes pop. Everyone's having a lovely time. But it's a loud noise because it echoes around.
I thought you meant they were like grunting and stuff, like tennis players. Do they make noise?
There was one guy who shouted a lot. He was upset with himself.
Right.
But I do, I will watch any sport. So I watch that in the same way I watch the cricket or the Formula One. I'm waiting for a moment of genius. You do have to be careful as a man wandering around what it's appropriate to watch and what it isn't appropriate to watch. Sometimes you
remind me never to take you down by the beach volleyball courts in Brighton.
Is there beach volleyball in Brighton?
There's beach volleyball in Brighton, yeah. They've got big sand pits and they play out there and it's lots of people in very little clothes playing beach volleyball. And
now I've seen
I
that.
I know you'd be watching the sport, but that's not what they think.
I'm a sporting enthusiast as I get pulled away by the police. The second one, this is the most frightening thing my child has ever said to me, right?
Right.
So we've got, you know what chalk pens are?
Yeah.
They're lovely. They use them in cafes and stuff.
Yeah,
but
beautiful.
Get them,
you can write with them.
Get them for the house. Draw on your windows. Lovely. You don't have to wait for condensation to draw on your windows.
You did that for my mum. You drew a little happy birthday message to my mum in your chalk pens.
And then my daughter asked me what it was.
Linda?
Who's Linda? So it's just a friend's mum. So we've got chalk pens. I love a bit. It's great when she's got a friend round. It's cool to be able to say to kids, draw on the doors and windows. Only the glass bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, she's doodling away. I'm in the kitchen, tidying up, putting the dishwasher away, all that stuff. Mm. I'm chatting. I'm aware I'm sort of saying stuff. And then she said, Daddy, I'm going to write down everything you've said in the last minute.
Oh, my word.
And I've never felt fear like it. Because it was then I realised, I've got no idea what I've been saying. She's obviously heard it. I'm pretty sure I was doing a German accent and I was exploring the phrase, you've got to do what you've got to do.
What?
And I said, I was just sort of muttering. Just like, well, you can't do what you don't got to do. What's that all about? What are you doing? I'm doing what I don't got to do. And to have your lunacy mirrored back at you immediately. She said, Daddy, I'm going to write down everything you've just said. And I went, please don't. Please. Better than any therapy I've ever had in my life, just to be told, this is what you do. When you're in neutral, this is what comes out of your mouth. Absolutely horrific.
That's so funny. I tell you what the most shocking thing about that whole scenario is, though, yeah. John, is that you were stacking the dishwasher and your daughter was elsewhere. You weren't showing her how to do it. Because I imagine every time you stack the dishwasher, you're... to your daughter, come here, watch this.
I was unloading the dishwasher, but okay. You're quite right. Had okay. I been stacking, I
then
usually
she would have been
film
by
it.
Your side. Yeah.
I film it so she can watch it in inconvenience. I upload it. She thinks she's watching YouTube, but it's brilliant. Can I watch kids' YouTube? Yeah, of course you can. Is it this guy again? The German guy? Yeah, it's the German guy.
The
dishwasher. I don't know. I don't know where the German accent came from. It was good fun to do, though. Yeah. I was really enjoying it. Like, it was quite a sort of kooky guy.
You're like quite cool German.
Yeah, you can't do what you don't gotta do. What a waste of everybody's time, you know?
Classic. Yeah.
It's one of those voices when you start doing it, you realise, I don't know who this person is, but I'm happier being them than me. It's a real disappointment when you go back to being yours. Ow! Oh, no.
But I'm not a cool German.
He's back. It's time for I Love You, But. It's our one and only dedication. It's a sour note, obviously. It's what we do. No cheesy love songs.
I say this every time, but I think this is my favourite bit of the show.
Yeah, it's lovely.
It's a real undercut.
It's just a lovely window into other people's lives, isn't
it? Yeah.
The misery
absolutely.
That we all we
it just
hope.
Makes you feel better about your own life,
especially in the summer when you're seeing families on holiday and all that. You think, but what's really going
like
on?
Social media and everything—it's all relationship goals and couple goals, yeah. And all of that. I want to see people who love each other, but also there's a little part of them reserved for hating each other.
I saw
that's
a
love.
Couple in the supermarket last week, and I realised you get to a point sometimes when you've been with someone so long, you're awful to each other. Like the tone they spoke to each other. So like this, there's some sweetness to it, and then there's a little sour note at the end, like, oh, I love you, thanks for doing this thing, and you're the one I want, but if you... this couple were just, the way she spoke to us, she's asking for your club card, Brian. Club card, you idiot. It's like, oh.
And if they talk to each other like that in public...
Exactly that.
How are they talking to each
and
other
And it's from
home?
The minute they wake up. The alarm goes off, the first sound is...
Oh, you again.
Oh, God. So anyway, this is couples just before that. This week, our one and only dedication comes from Darren.
Hi, John. Really appreciate you giving this week's one and only shout-out to me. And I'd like to give a dedication to my lovely wife, Bronwyn. Bronwyn, you're the best wife in the world, and I really do love you, but why do you insist on using so many glasses instead of reusing one? Does the water really taste better when it's drunk out of a brand new glass? It gives me a headache every time I see a number of glasses just lying around and have to wash them now when they've only had one single use. Think of the planet. Please just use the same glass. Your loving husband, Darren.
Oh, Darren. Oh, you felt that, didn't you, John?
Do you know what it was? It was the desperation of when you are shouting, think of the planet. You've lost. He's tried everything. I don't like doing the washing up or the glasses break. If I bang it against the Belfast sink, once you get to a point, you think of the planet. It's gone.
I really feel like, I don't think it is a gender split in every household, but I think the split in this studio would be your team Darren, I'm team Bronwyn.
Yeah, I think so.
Because I know that the problem I have is I have different drinks on the go at one time. Like, I'll have a squash, I'll have a glass of water and a cup of tea all at the same time because I alternate.
Yeah.
You know, and I can just see Matt look at me. Like, he won't say it, but I can hear his brain going, just have one drink.
Yeah.
You can't drink three drinks at once.
A one cup.
Yeah.
I think a mug as well. You can swill a mug out. A glass needs to be washed properly and carefully.
Yeah.
And left to dry streak-free. That's
Although
the thing.
If you have just had water in it, you can just refill it.
Oh, you can.
If
oh,
you just have water in it.
This is an odd sort of. I don't think people would think I'd be this kind of guy, but I will have a glass on the go for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
And I'll just leave it by the sink and I'll. Because I don't like water. It's disgusting. It's horrible.
Oh, really? You're not a water drinker?
I just. Why in a world of Ribena would you ever drink water again? There's Vimto, there's Robinson. We just don't need water anymore.
Because you're a grown man, it's John, like, that's why.
It's like still playing a Commodore 64, even though everyone else has got a Switch. Why are we drinking water?
I like water.
No,
it's,
you
it's
don't.
It's the only thing that properly quenches.
Listen,
you.
You're entitled to your opinion, but you don't like water. Nobody does. It's just boring. So I'll leave the cup by the sink and I'll use it over a period of days, which I think people would be surprised to learn that actually I'm quite a relaxed guy. I'm quite laid back. I mean, God knows what accent I'm doing when I pour myself a squash. Some sort of Austrian retired downhill skier. Time for some Ribena. Anyway, Bronwyn, I am Team Darren. Just have one glass or use a mug. Or something, yeah. You know, you can't be using a glass every time. Literal police is coming up in the next hour. How do we feel about you are the best wife in the world, but? Because surely somewhere there is a wife who does all the things Bronwyn does, but doesn't use multiple glasses during a day.
Yeah, so they must be.
Yeah.
Because we know she's not 10 out of 10, don't we, Bronwyn?
That's it. I mean, I've never met Bronwyn. I don't know Darren. I've never seen inside their marriage. I'm happy to say she's in the top million wives.
Yeah.
That seems fair.
Yeah.
And a planet of 8 billion people. Those
That's
are good
pretty
odds.
Good. Yeah. I'd take that.
So to one of the top million wives from your husband, Darren, this is for you, Bronwyn.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show. Get John Richardson on.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
Good morning, it's Absolute Radio. You're listening to John Richardson and Angela Barnes.
Hello.
Still to come, the Literal Police, the Britpop Summer Diaries, but now it's that time of the week. Well, no, it's not actually, because I mean all week. I was going to say it's that time of the week where I'm unnecessarily mean, but that
that's
could be
constant.
Any point.
That's yeah, constant,
it's,
yeah.
It's that time of the week when I do it on air.
We should have a spot that's like John just being nice with
it's
no
a good point.
Edge.
With it's
no,
a good point.
You know, undercut, no nothing.
What I'm thankful for.
Your gratitude.
No, that's nauseating,
oh, no one
isn't
wants
it?
That. Even I'm going to switch off if you do that.
Well, let's have a think about something I could, because I do feel, especially off the back of I Love You But and with Literal Police coming, it is quite a slam of me being awful.
Yeah, but that's what the people want, John.
It is.
They're
well.
They're not tuning in to hear John Richardson be nice. They'll be wait. They'll be. It'll be like me in that MRI holding my breath, waiting for the release.
Yeah. They've gone. And on that subject, let me just say, I sort of loosen up for being horrible to a listener by asking you to be smug.
Yeah.
I ask you to be smug. You don't do voluntary. It's particularly difficult at the moment because I know you're in constant pain. You're having a lot of medical stuff going on.
Yeah, I'm trying to move house.
Just want you to know that this is a struggle for me too, Angela.
Oh, I'm glad you're struggling, John. I'm glad you've made it about you. That's the most important
It's really
thing.
Hard for me to be horrible to you while you've got all this going on, but I will summon the strength.
Oh, John. You're but a trooper.
I'll carry it with me. It feels a bit like a stone, I imagine. The weight I carry of having been unnecessarily mean to you.
Yeah, if anyone should have a stone made of bile in them, you'd think it would be John Richardson, not me. But there you go.
I think if I had an MRI there, they'd just say, it's all stones. It's just acid. How are you not feeling this? Well, it comes out of my mouth. I'll just spray them out. The one we're waiting for is the 100K deadlift.
Yeah, unfortunately, my progress has slowed slightly.
Of course it has. You've been in hospital.
I still haven't missed a session.
That's really
nice. I go there, so I went yesterday and I didn't lift as heavy as I usually do. So I was only lifting 60 kilograms yesterday because I've just got to be a little bit gentle with myself.
It's 60 more than a lot of people waiting for operations, I think.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm being nice to you.
Yeah, careful. But my smugness is not related to lifting this week. It is that yesterday, I not only did I wordle in two, I wordled in two yesterday, I also got Queen Bee on the New York Times spelling bee.
I don't think I've wordled in two for a long time. I always assume that when you wordle in two that you put it on the WhatsApp. So I sort of delude myself. If you don't put it on the group, I just imagine.
Oh, I can prove it to you. I nearly did put it in the WhatsApp, but I know it upsets Will because of the whole crisps saga.
Yeah. Are you still wordling, Will? Or are you Scott? Yeah, I didn't think you were.
Yeah, no, Will's given up on Wordle.
So if I can wordle in two or fewer now,
then you can take me down.
I can take you down, if not all. Right, okay. What was the word yesterday?
I mean, live word league. It's not great radio,
is it? No, it's not. And I realise, actually, my brain works incredibly slowly. All right. Oh, no, because that's... Oh, I don't like it. I must admit, I've gone off the Wordle.
Because
I think if they use the same word... In the last 37 seconds, I've gone right off it. When they use the same word twice, the same letter twice, I think that's cheating.
Right.
And when they use, like, obscure letters, I think that's cheating as well.
No, I don't mind when they use the same letters. That's part of the game, John.
I know, but it's an annoying part of the game. So, Wordled in two. What was the other one?
And the other one, I got Queen Bee on the spelling bee.
Was I nice to you last week? Did I take you...
Last week, it was the business people on the train and I was smug about my life choices.
Oh, and I told you you didn't have a pension.
Yeah, that's right. See, no, I think it's a stretch to say you were nice to me last week.
I'm going
to
let you have the Wordle.
Thanks, mate.
I'm going to let you have the Wordle because it's sort of not a thing anymore, is it, anyway, Wordle?
I'm the only person who cares,
really. It's only you doing it now. And for the fact that you even remember, I think, I got it in one yesterday, but I didn't even mention it. do you ever not get it?
No.
I'll be honest, I was unable to bring you down. It wasn't my best week.
No.
I bottled it and I got upset. Then what happened while
you
the song was playing?
You made up for it in the song. I am absolutely gutted.
You tell him. You tell him. I don't want to tell
During
him.
During the song, John wordled in two. He did it. The chances of you wordling in two
at
that moment, I cannot... it's like something must have taken you over.
Something
in the universe went...
There was an energy passing through me, and it just said, we'll bring her down for you, John. My fingers just... I think it was the German guy. I know that it is.
Do you think that's your spirit guide?
He just came through. That was the best I've felt for a very long time.
Oh, you can tell it. I mean, it was pure joy in your heart there.
It's a good job I wasn't going on Jazz FM when that noise came out of me.
And the words that you said.
Absolutely remarkable.
It's a shame you didn't do it on air. That's the only thing, is it? The listeners could have joined in your
glee. I know, well, I was wordling on air and we agreed it was bad radio. But then coming round the corner was exceptional radio, potentially career-ending radio. I think wordling in two is better than wordling in one as well,
isn't it? Because wordling in one is just luck.
Yeah, wordling in two is
skill.
Genius.
Yeah, well, let's not overcook it.
No, okay, right. Now, that's really settled me down. So this might be good news for Sammy, who has been in touch with something they're smug about this week. Oh, he's got it. Will's
he's
got it.
He's wordled in two. What is going on?
He wordled in two. Oh.
Sorry, this is Will who's just wordled in two. I mean, John wordling in two is one thing, but this is Will wordling in two. This is like a red letter day. What is the whole country wordled in two?
Do you want to rethink the thing you're smug about, having just seen what's happened in the studio?
I do. I mean, right, wait, now you two need to get Queen Bee and then I'll...
I don't do that one. I don't like that one. Right, OK. I'm feeling good now, so I might be nice to you, Sammy. Let's hear what you're smug about.
Hi John, I'm hoping your smugness feature can help me this week. Not because I am smug, but because I need help dealing with some people who will be. I'm heading off this morning to a fitness class. Not something I'm smug about, believe me. But I need help dealing with the smug people after. The other people in my class are so smug, they insist on giving horrible, sweaty high fives and handshakes after the class. It's just self-praising smuggery, and I don't want to be a part of it, mainly for hygiene reasons. How can I puncture their smugness to stop having to high-five their grabby mitts? Thanks in advance for your help, Sammy.
I think I've got this, John.
Yeah?
I think they can do what I like to call the John Richardson. And then what it is, when somebody goes to give you a high five, just get a bottle of hand sanitizer out your pocket and really ostentatiously squeeze it on your hands and
after
rub
each
it in.
One.
After each one.
Yeah, that would do it, I think.
Yeah.
I think you almost go even further. Like, you just, oh, hang on, are we doing the high five thing? And then get an actual glove out of your
bag.
So it's not the germs, it's the smugness.
Yeah.
I just don't want it on
like
me.
Really pop it. Really put it in and pull
it. It stays with me all day.
Oh, yeah.
So you're picturing like a surgical glove.
Yeah.
Disposable, where you have to burn it.
Yeah.
It burns with a purple flame because of the smugness of you all. Oh, I didn't know that was it. I mean, I don't go to exercise classes, as is obvious from anyone who's heard me climbing stairs. However... I didn't know that was a thing, high-fiving each other afterwards.
I don't go to fitness classes where they do that. I think I select mine. Like, rather than go to fitness classes at a gym, go to ones in your local community centre or something like that. Because what happens there is you go there during the day, if you can, if you're lucky like I am to have a job where you can do that, and you'll find it's just full of other overweight middle-aged women. And sure, for a second you think, well, it doesn't work then, does it? It doesn't matter. Because you fit in, you know? You don't want to be going to a gym to do your fitness classes. That's your mistake.
I always feel, when I mean, obviously, I've reached a level where I overtake people when I'm out my runs, as we discussed earlier. But if I see someone else like me who is sort of bright red, I mean, I'm not an attractive runner. It's not. I don't saunter like a gazelle.
I'm imagining Phoebe from Friends.
It's exactly. Yeah. It's not a pleasant running style. I look angry, and when I see other people who look the same, I think I admire you. We're supposed to be out for runs. Mm. The people who just. They're really fast and they look like they're not trying. Oh. I think, what you do, you're finished. You've done running. You've completed it. And then I just think, well, that's your thing then. So, Sammy, the advice is either hand gel or a full glove, I think, or you just have to sort of relocate and...
Yeah, go somewhere where they're not like that. Like, go to a community centre or a village hall for your fitness classes.
Yeah, I mean, the only ways around it are just rudeness, aren't they? Yeah. I'm just picturing now, just shaming them. So you've done nothing to be proud of.
Yeah.
And then you just leave. Yeah, absolutely. Good luck. Let us know how it goes. Last week, one of the things that kicked off on text and email and continued to during the week was naughty cats.
Who knew that Brits loved cats, John? Yeah. What a revelation.
We did a news that wasn't news story about a cat that stole clothes. And I mooted that I'd never heard of that before. Mm. I knew that dogs would steal sausages. I didn't know cats were thieves. It turns out every cat is a thief.
They're really bad, and cat burglar does come from cats,
yeah,
clearly.
Absolutely, they're horrific.
We had some great texts. We had one from Catherine, said, sorry, this one's really made me laugh. My brother was awoken by a banging commotion on the back door. It was the cat trying to pull a whole live chicken through the cat flap that is stolen from the next door neighbours. The cat must have been like, what's a bird?
I think that's beyond sort of stealing, isn't it? Stealing
rustling,
actually makes that
poaching?
Sound... Yeah, that makes it sound nicer than it is.
Yeah.
That's a cat trying to murder a chicken. Brian says, we live in Nottingham. Our cat Patrick now has recently brought in, and this is a full list, a flip-flop, a toy rabbit, a toy bowling skittle. I mean, these have all been stolen from children, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But somewhere next door there is one screaming child.
Where are all my toys?
Well, you can't have lost all your toys, Stephen. Oh, the cat again, was it? A quarter dollar, a bouncy ball, and a pizza slice. We tried to find where the toys came from, but no luck reuniting them with the owner. So we have the neighbourhood burglar, collectomania, treasure hunter cat. Just going everywhere and nicking stuff.
Wow. It's Nick money.
Yeah.
That's mugging. That's something quite...
I love bouncy balls.
Do you?
Oh, man.
I haven't bounced a bouncy ball... for so long.
I think if you don't have kids, it's harder to go out and get a bouncy ball.
Yeah.
But we've got, there's one in every room, and I will just have it in my hand and I'll set myself little challenges. Like from walking down the hallway, I've got to bounce it off the floor and hit the little bit between the ceiling and the doorway, bounce it back and catch it in one.
Do you know what makes me really happy about this?
Yeah.
Is because if you were doing that in your mum's house, say, she would have told you off when you were a kid, stop bouncing that ball in my house, you'll break something. When you're a grown-up and you own a house,
yeah,
you can bounce a bouncy ball around it and no one can tell you off.
You can, but you say that. So I did have to once say to my daughter, and I say to her all the time, look, I know sometimes, because if you're a parent, you just got to sometimes say stuff that, you know, is it all go to bed and all that. And So sometimes I do say to her, look, I didn't do these things when I was a kid. My job as a parent is to tell you, but it's as normal as a kid to not do these things, right? So I'm not... I did once have to say to her, look, don't go in that room because I've smashed a wine glass, right? And what I need you to know is that I smashed it bouncing a tennis ball. So, it's almost like a get-out-of-jail-free card. I said to her, next time I tell you not to bounce a ball in the house, just look at me and say... the wine glass, Daddy.
Yeah.
And just know that even in your 40s, you will knock stuff over. It was, I was so annoyed with myself.
Did it have wine in it?
No, it was on the side. And,
well, you should have taken that and washed it up, John. We've covered this.
Yeah, I should have. I pinged it. Oh, it smashed everywhere.
Oh, no.
And as a 42-year-old man smashing a wine glass because you're bouncing a ball in the kitchen, it's just so humiliating.
Next time, will you bring a bouncy ball into the studio?
Am I allowed, Will?
We won't bounce it in the studio. We'll bounce it somewhere else.
Bounce it in the office.
We're getting ready. Really stressed.
Well,
now.
Dave Berry's in preparing for his week's shows.
All right, Dave.
If he sounds a bit tired when you hear him on breakfast next week. Right, we'll come back to cats, I guess.
Oh, yeah, there's some more.
Because we didn't get a chance to get through many because I derailed it with how much I love bouncing balls.
I'm so excited about a bouncing ball.
Don't clip that up. Have you got... Have you got... Do you want me to read one while you... Jamie says, my cat once bought a single glove home one night and then the following night brought the matching glove.
I love the idea that he was doing, like, Michael Jackson impressions. Just came moonwalking through the cat flap with one glove on.
I like the idea that the cat overheard the owner saying, what's the point in one glove? All right, all right, just give me a minute. You go next door and knit clothes then. Any more?
Yeah, we've had one from Lucy who says, this is quite a nice one. Said, after checking our indoor cat cam, because apparently that's a thing.
Yes.
We thought we were unique and had a ghost, as all we could see was a dancing tea towel in the air. But on closer inspection, it was Sooty, our cat, carrying it about. He's a black cat, that's why we couldn't see him, just the tea towel.
Oh, that's very good.
I hope that Sooty knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
I think Sooty knew exactly what he... That cat cam, think, I don't know that fair.
Yeah. I get you to take that
stupid.
Down.
Stupid, yeah.
Cats watched Poltergeist one night and thought, yes, I get it. Now, we're about to head into the literal police. We've had a suggestion from Lauren. I've been thinking this week about, we talked about your word soup last week.
Oh, yes.
Estate agent jargon.
Oh, yes. And
it has stayed in my... I heard one this morning. Someone on the phone used the word utilise. Which is
Instead
a real
use
is. I'm sure there's a time when you need utilize, not use. Mm. But she was on the phone. She was just saying, and that's something I will be utilizing.
No,
and I thought that you're just trying to sound like you've got more going on there. Now Lauren's emailed and she says on the subject of sort of spin-offs from the word soup. Lauren here, looking forward to the Triple E's this morning. I was wondering if it would be possible to create a new department.
Ooh.
I don't know if we've got the funds. It's a difficult time.
I mean, we'll put it on file, probably. Like, we've got a few, haven't we, that we might... Let's hear it.
We'll email the Grammatical Home Office, see if we can get funding. She said, I really think we need to clamp down on people who use 100% whimsically as an answer. Examples everywhere. People responding to questions like, would you jump off that cliff? 100%, mate. No, you wouldn't. Additionally, people who exaggerate percentages as if it's possible. Mm. You did not give 110% because that is impossible. I'd be delighted to become a support officer for the percentage police, if required. Grumpily yours, Lauren from Derby.
Oh, Lauren, you see, I am with you on the... Do you know, I nearly said I'm with you 100%.
100%, mate.
Because the problem is, I've fallen into that trap, and I know I've done it on this show, and I hear myself, but I just can't... It's become part of my vernacular.
I think 100% is okay.
But 110% can get lost. That
100%, 1,000,000%.
Ugh.
1,000%, because it's a similar thing to the literal. 100% is, that's the thing. You're saying there is no world in which I'm not going to do that thing.
Mm.
1,000,000% does not make that any more likely.
No.
I do like the idea, though, that off the back, you start asking for quite specific percentages. I've never heard anyone say, nice. You're going to be there next Thursday, 89%, mate. I will 89% be there. You know.
We should have honest percentages.
Absolutely. Do you love me?
You don't know what's going to happen. Oh, yeah.
96.3%. And that's up on yesterday, so that might sound bad. But it was 94 yesterday after all that cup shenanigans. Yeah, I don't mind it, and I do like the suggestions of different departments because you know it's
and
not just about.
Percentage police has got a ring to it.
Yeah, I think so. It works well. So thanks for the suggestion, Lauren. So this is where we look for people who've used the word literally incorrectly. Now you do a great deal of work, Will, on this. I don't know how you find time because you get the show ready for us, and then you seem to go out and snitch on all these sport pundits.
He's always working. Will.
He is always working.
Always working.
Except last week after the show where I thought he wasn't working. There was a little bit where I thought he wasn't working. And I think it wouldn't have been safe for him to
work. He was working his way through those beers, to be
he
fair.
He was working his way through those Jubel peaches.
Whoa. Oh, yeah.
Now, this week you have... you found Jill Scott, and I like Jill Scott.
Mm.
So this might be a difficult one for me, but we'll have a listen to what she said and see whether she's going in literal prison.
David, send us some honey. That would literally be the best delivery I've ever had.
Oh, I think that's defendable because we don't know what deliveries Jill Scott's had.
No, it is, yeah. She's talking to David Beckham there about honey.
Right, he makes honey, does he? Well, the bees make honey, but...
I think he probably used to. I think now he's got the knighthood, he's probably just let them all free.
Yeah,
he's done it now. I don't care anymore. Because Charles makes honey, so I thought if I do honey, it's
King Charles. I've got some terrible news for you.
I do think the use of the word literal there is okay.
Yeah.
I don't like the begging for honey from David Beckham. She's above that, Jill.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I don't, you know the details of her income, but I'm pretty sure Jill Scott can afford some honey now.
And I think she's probably had a better delivery than some honey from David Beckham. Mm. But I can't prove it. So it sort of makes me sad for her, really, that she might not have. She will walk free because, as you say, I can't disprove it.
If anyone
it's overuse.
You know, maybe there's a delivery driver out there who can say, I delivered something to Jill Scott that was better
but
than David
Beckham
honey.
That would be their view on what was better. She might have hated it.
How do you quantify it?
Now, we're staying in the realm of sport.
Okay.
We've had an email in about Formula One.
I don't know if I'm going to like this or not.
Well, you got very angry the other week when we nearly locked up Lando.
Yeah.
Did we lock up Lando?
You did lock up Lando, and I wasn't here.
And then he's won a couple of races since then.
To defend him, he has.
So I think...
Which is pretty good from prison.
So let's let's find out if we're going to be locking up another one. We'll find out immediately whether you support this offence or not. This is from Corinne.
Hi, John. I have a literal offence to report. As a Formula One fan, Officer Barnes may already have clocked this one if she was able to catch Quali on Saturday afternoon in Hungary. I'm sure she would have had a sharp intake of breath when the F1 king of moaning Max Verstappen
said him up.
Driving his car was literally like driving on ice. To be fair, I don't think it's a clear-cut case, and Angela may want to flex her defence lawyer muscles to make a case for him not to go to prison. If he did, he'd miss the indignity of losing to the McLarens again. Perhaps further investigation is required to identify whether Max Verstappen has ever driven on ice and is therefore equipped to make the comparison. I hope this case can be heard and look forward to the outcome. Thanks, Corinne.
I genuinely did hear that. And I did think, oh, he's done it literally, wait for it. And then I thought, well, maybe it did feel like literally driving on ice.
I did hear a word she said.
It's quite a sultry voice, isn't it? You're right, John, you've gone cross-eyed.
I couldn't work out if she was sort of hiding somewhere. She doesn't want anyone to know that she listens to the show. She's in the closet somewhere. John, I've got a nomination for that. I mean, you've said already, you said lock him up when his name was mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to go on record. I'm not the biggest Red Bull stroke Max Verstappen fan.
Okay.
However...
Do you want to hear it again? You've heard it. Let's, for those of us who didn't hear it at the time, this is what Max said about driving
on
ice.
Okay, yes.
I'm already on the outlap. I have again, no grip. It's like literally driving on ice.
No grip, literally like driving on ice.
What gets it for me is the use of the word it is like. So he's not saying I'm literally driving on ice, which would be an open and shut case. He's saying it is like literally driving on ice. And I tell you what as well, I do think there has to be some sort of leniency around somebody who is able to communicate whilst driving at 100 miles an hour.
It is quite... I'm always impressed when the radio messages aren't just, ah!
There was a... Was it George Russell this week? I didn't like the tetchiness. His comms team came on and he went, guys, let me drive.
They do that quite a lot. They do, because sometimes the race engineer will talk to them just as they're like breaking into a corner.
Right.
And when you're breaking into a corner at 200 miles an hour, you don't need someone going, especially when it's not helpful. And he just said something to him like, you're doing great. It's like,
that's exactly what it was. That's why it stood out so much for me. Yeah. Going, just keep this pace up, you're doing fine. He went, shut up. I mean, take a compliment. I think Max is okay there. I think he's just got away with that. We've got a picture of a car driving on ice as well.
Well, that is Max Verstappen.
That's Max Verstappen driving on ice.
Yeah, so he does know what
he knows what it feels like,
and he's saying better than we do.
He's saying that's what it feels like, and as the person in the garage, it conveyed the message of what he's saying about the grip he's getting on his tires.
Gave them the information they needed about the grip.
Do I not locking anyone up this week? But then again, I did Wordle in too. More coming up soon. John Richardson on Absolute Radio.
Bringing some showbiz sparkle to an otherwise ordinary Saturday.
The John Richardson Show.
Happy Saturday. It is John Richardson and Angela Barnes here for another hour. Now. It's the time of the week where we discuss... I always do this really quickly. I think I talk too quickly.
Exactly. When you slow down, though, it's harder, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you just got to run at it.
Perhaps what I'm saying is of no significance or importance. So if you say it slowly, people will notice. But if you say it very quickly, it sounds like it's all right because we're just having a chat anyway.
Yay! See, I went with it.
It's that time we discussed news that wasn't in the news that might have been in the news, just to make the news slightly less unpleasant.
Yes.
So right. What have you seen in the news this week that you
story,
would like to talk about?
It sort of made me laugh and angry at the same time, but it's a funny image. Yeah,
like that.
Don't look like you've never done angry laughing. So this is the Bishop of Fulham, right?
This sounds like the start to an old joke. I'm picturing Ronnie Corbett now, the Bishop of Fulham.
I'm in a big chair pushing my glasses up my nose, imagine that. So his church, St Andrew's in Holborn, a choir...
Bishop of Fulham with a church in Holborn.
It's just how London works.
Is it?
It's weird
ridiculous
like that.
So they've had thousands of years to sort this out.
I know. Make it make sense. I can't.
Absolutely.
So the City Academy Choir hired the church for a concert, a lovely concert, and they had 300 people come to see them sing their lovely songs. So they hired the church till 11 o'clock that evening for their concert. And they were doing their final bit, like their final medley they'd come into.
Yeah.
And suddenly all the lights went out in the church, right? And then the lights came back on, and a man, who it turns out was the Bishop of Fulham, in dressing gown and slippers, walked on the stage and told everyone to stop this terrible racket, this is my house.
Wow.
And can you all leave, please?
I think it's God's house.
Right.
From what little I understand.
Right. I mean, I'm not a religious person, but yeah, I don't think it's your... I think you've been gifted that house to look after.
Exactly.
And he was obviously trying to sleep and he didn't like that. And he called it a terrible racket, which I think is rude when you've got a choir performing.
Yeah.
And obviously the choir were just really embarrassed by because that was their big finale moment and they ended up having... And there's a little video of it and this woman from the choir just said, can you all leave quietly, please? We're going to have to go. And anyway, the bishop has since issued an apology saying he didn't realise they'd hired the church till 11 o'clock.
What did he think? They just wandered in?
Right? And I think he should have maybe checked that before ruining the end of their concert. They've probably rehearsed for the whole year for that concert. It made me so sad. And the audience are paying money to go and watch.
Yeah.
Which there were a couple of people in the audience who have said they thought it was a joke. They thought it was like a little skit at the end. You know, we're waiting for the punchline. And it was... What a horrible way to... He has since apologised.
Okay.
However, you know...
In the 90s, he would have become like a viral sensation. And that's how like TFI Friday would have ended that week.
Yeah.
And like the snooker, Hazel would have just turned and he would have come out
so
in his dressing
true.
Gown. Will you stop this racket? that's not going to happen to him now.
No.
So what's the conclusion is...
He apologised and I suppose they've just got to take it. But I just think...
Turn the other cheek.
Well, quite... Practice what you preach, mate.
You'd put your clothes on, wouldn't you?
Oh, sorry, I thought you...
No, I'm not telling you. What you wear in the studio is your own business.
Just come out of that and just put your clothes on, will you? What are you doing, John?
I'll tell you what, though, you reacted as if you had taken your clothes off without realising.
I genuinely looked down to check. I was really worried.
I'm having that dream again.
Was really horrible. I was thinking of what have I done.
That was. I'm going to write down everything you've said for the last 2 hours.
Oh my word!
I didn't know that was a thing now as well. Transcribing podcasts. You can click a button and it just
transcribes
well,
it for you.
When I first started doing panel shows. I didn't realise someone's job is to, obviously, legally, if you ever get challenged, someone has to type out everything you've said. And, like, every stand-up show I've put out, someone has to type out every, anyway, so...
Oh, that's a horror. I never want to see how many ums and ahs. Have you ever done stand-up shows that have been live captioned? Because I do it for hard of hearing people. I have live captioning in my shows.
And I have a couple, yeah.
I had one once.
And leave it because... It's mesmerising.
It is mesmerising. You have to sort of address it, but usually people can forget it if they're not using it. But as somebody who's hard of hearing,
yes,
it's useful. But I did one once and I was in Aberystwyth and it had a really low stage and I fell off the stage. I sort of tripped and I didn't hurt myself or anything. And when I turned around to get back on the stage, I glanced at the caption box and it just said, ah!
I think you could take that as read.
Yeah.
I thought you meant like sign language live on the stage.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm talking about the actual words.
Oh, I wouldn't want to see the caption. I've seen it at the opera.
Ah, you've not been to the opera.
I have been to that. I went through a period of going to the opera quite a lot on my own. Is that all right? No.
Oh, sorry, I was absolutely gobsmacked then, aren't you?
Well, I like a bit of opera. Well, I went to Phantom of the Opera.
That is not an opera!
No, but it's a gateway too. Then I started going to the Colosseum and the ENO, and they're just nice buildings to be in anyway, and I go to the opera, and it's not something you could put on a WhatsApp group.
No, anyone want to come to the opera?
Anyone coming to Madame Butterfly this week? You know what?
I can just see you and Fordy at the opera.
A few cans. You don't get any grief as well. Like, nobody... You go to some places, you get recognised.
Oh,
nobody
no one's doing that
at the opera is watching 8 out of 10 casters countdown. I'll tell you that now.
I went once... I used to date a guy who worked for De Beers, the diamond company. Mm-hmm. And
nice, and, what a clang that was.
Yeah, right? And never got a diamond from him, but never mind.
No.
But he did get tickets to the opera, because De Beers owned some seats and they do a ballot for their employees. And so, we went a couple of times.
What did you think? Wills loved the fact that he used to go out with someone.
I thought when he worked in a pub.
Oh, De Beers. I used to go out with a guy who worked for De Beers.
Wow.
Sometimes I think we do the sort of, you and Charlie are the voice of the young thing a bit too much. Yes. And then sometimes I think we don't do it enough.
No, we don't. We don't. Oh wow, dear. That's amazing.
I'm going to need a minute.
I can't even remember what I was going to say now. My word.
Okay, this won't do. That's gonna get me on the train.
Oh,
that one.
The WhatsApp group is gonna be on fire after this show.
Yeah, working for De Beers.
Don't start me off again, John.
That is what I'm gonna call going to the pub for the rest of my life. What are you up to tonight? Working for De Beers, if you know what I mean.
That's what we do every day. We work for De Beers.
Work for De Beers, man. Who's got to pay them beers? Right, so I'm going to...
You've done it now, John.
Yeah, it's not going to be as good, my news story, but this is about Gen Z. Are you Gen Z, Will?
Yeah.
What is Gen Z then? 2000 onwards?
Bit before, I think it's like 95 onwards, maybe.
Is it?
Oh, maybe.
So, yeah.
Because I'm a millennial, you know.
I'm a Gen X. We've got three generations represented here.
This is multi-generational broadcast.
Yeah, I want to say I'm a young Gen X.
Yeah, and I'm a very old millennial.
You're an old millennial.
I'm like a 90th minute millennial. So this has gone down. The headline is Gen Z's latest party trend.
Oh, now you've gone Gen Z to Gen Z. Pick a lane.
I think it's because I didn't want to say Gen Z's.
Yeah.
So I've changed it to Z. So I got the
I always say Gen Z because I'm not American.
Gen Z, Gen Z.
Gen Z. Well, you're the rep.
Gen
Will.
Z, I think I would say.
Okay, young.
Okay, the youth are saying Gen Z.
But what it is, it's called Big Fake Weddings, right? And it says, imagine all the best parts of a wedding, dancing, socialising, food and venue, but without the bride and groom. So apparently, you young people, what you do now, they do fake weddings. So it's a rising trend in Indian cities where they'll get together, they'll have a whole wedding party, but just not do the marriage bit.
Right.
Which I think is a great idea.
Well, you say that, but you said the sentence just now, the best bits about weddings, dancing and socialising. Are you mad? They're the two worst bits about weddings, aren't they?
Well, they are at a wedding because what you have is, I guess, like just too wide a mix of people. And I think the thing with weddings is like you're trying to plan a party that you want your nan to enjoy exactly as much as your mates from school.
Yeah.
It's impossible. It's just not going
to
happen.
Do you want to hear my wedding tip? Because we had a really good wedding.
Yeah.
And the tip that I will give you and anyone listening to make your wedding party go with a swing is have it right at the end of a global pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
When everyone is really gagging for a party.
Yes.
Because that's what we did. Our wedding was September 2021 and people let their hair down, let me tell you.
I bet they did. If you are going to plan one of these big parties, make sure you work for De Beers, man. Yeah. That's what everybody's there for. But I fully endorse it, and I'd love to know if anyone's done it. john@absoluteradio.co.uk. If you ever just organised a big bash for no reason at all, just email everyone you care about and say, I'll tell you what, let's meet in the Peak District at this barn and just have a lovely weekend together. Because I bet no one's done it. And it should happen all the time.
Yeah, it's the organisation, that's the problem. Because if you throw the party, you don't enjoy it.
Yeah, but I don't think you have to do it the same way you would for a wedding. Because a wedding, you've got to like, is everyone all right? Have you got somewhere to stay? Because here's a list of B&Bs. For this one, you just put, I've hired this venue, I'm going to put some beers in there.
Yeah.
If you can get there, get there.
Yeah.
If you can't, sauce.
What if no one comes, John?
What a night. Oh, my God. That was all getting a little bit sickly sweet, being with the people you love. But I tell you what, equally, sit in a barn and get leathered on your own. Oh, cracking weekend. This summer is about one thing on Absolute Radio, De Beers. I mean, that's the last one, Will. That's the last one.
It's not the last one.
It's the last one on air.
Okay, because you are never going to let Will forget this.
It's a broadcasting highlight, that one.
At least we'll never mention the crisps again, Will.
True. You've wordled in two today, so you've put that I think that train of banter has gone to bed now.
It has. But De Beers, that's going to run and run.
It's about Britpop this summer. Yes. Oasis are back. What a gig. New stuff coming from Pulp. Stereophonics have had some big gigs. So all summer, Absolute, we've been looking back at one of the most iconic eras in music. And a part of that, you've been asked a huge question. What is the best Britpop anthem of all time? Suede, Supergrass, Dodgy. I had some Dodgy on when I was driving this week.
Good
staying
enough,
out for the
Dodgy
summer.
Is great. And staying out for the summer. I saw Dodgy at, it was a festival in the 90s. In 96, I think it was.
Imagine having gone to that many that you can't remember.
I think it was, when Good Enough came out, and I got to the front with my friends, and it was a really hot day, and Dodgy were playing, and they were like, they had hoses with water on just to cool everybody down, and it was such a lovely, because everyone was just in a good mood. They were such brilliant summer pop.
And they would
pop.
Have loved that.
Oh, it was
spraying
great.
A crowd.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they were
enjoying
that. If
I try and do
that
at the Hammersmith Apollo, it's not going to go down as well. I was going to watch Sean Richardson. It was just like such a celebration of summer. They go, he'd come out with a hose. I knew he'd flipped from the beginning.
Yeah, that was a water cannon, John. Yeah. That's a different thing.
I don't know how he got slurry in it. So you can vote for your ultimate Britpop anthem. There's a lot that won't be on the list, you know. I was thinking, I really loved a song called Iceland by a band called Bennett.
Oh, I don't remember that.
And it didn't really, I don't know if, I think it would have charted maybe for a couple of weeks, but it was a song sort of broadly about, but it had such a good riff to it. Do, 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 doodaloo. I listened to it. Better than that.
Yeah,
if you can imagine that, but on a guitar. I've given it a George Formby angle that wasn't there in there. Do, 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 do. So get to absoluteradio.co.uk. There will be a countdown of the top 100. We will reveal the winner on the 22nd of August. That's Friday. You can vote until the 17th of August. Now, perhaps you were there. Perhaps you heard those songs live in the 90s. On the 90s. That went very weird, didn't it? That's another voice I sometimes do. Anyway, so Louise Wenner has been telling her stories about Britpop Absolute this year. Dave Berry's got lots of stories. I've got none. Let's go back to 2nd of February 1998,
okay.
if you will. Let's really go
back
there.
Oh, here we
there.
Go. Ready?
Oof. That made me feel a bit sick, that one. Now, this is when Catatonia's International Velvet come out. You can hear a classic edition of Tim's listening party. It's Tim Burgess. He will be chatting with Kerris Matthews. We'll be hearing it again tomorrow at 10 on Absolute.
Lovely.
February 1998, Angela.
I was 21, John.
Oh, 21. Never been kissed?
Oh, I'd been kissed.
Do you know, I don't think we need to do much more. I don't think there's a lot more to be said than that.
It was a good year.
Okay. Okay. I hadn't been kissed, I don't think, in 1998. 1998 is the year I got Championship Manager, 97-98.
Yeah.
If you are a sports nerd, that is when it just became nuclear. That you can, it's a game where you don't ever play football. It's a football game. Have you seen it?
You just manage the teams.
You manage the teams.
I remember a lot of the people I knew at the time being obsessed with it.
It nearly cost me my GCSEs. Ah. I mean, I stayed up all night and I believed it was true, and I was managing Torquay United and I got them
Why
into
Why did you pick Torquay United?
Because I'd had a holiday romance, which we heard at the start of the
Britpop
summer.
Please don't tell me that again, because I'll cry.
I had the holiday romance with the girl who pecked me on the cheek once.
Oh,
it was
John.
A full blow. I mean, I'd been kissed, man. And I thought, in the game, I'm going to get Torquay into the Champions League and they'll have a big stadium and they'll call it John Richardson Stadium, and then we'll both live in Torquay and she'll fall in love with me. And I had Danielson, I had Ronaldo, I had David Beckham.
Playing for Torquay United.
Playing for Torquay United in the Champions League. I mean, as a result of that, I did lie to my mum a lot and say I was going to bed and then come back downstairs and play until the next morning.
Oh, John. Did you sort of cross reality?
I would do press conferences in the shower as like a 15-year-old being in the shower saying, well, you know, the lads have done quite well. It's an honour to be in a cup final, to be honest, you know, but obviously if we no one remembers who loses.
Do you know what I did in February 1998? I had my first ever Thai meal. Because Thai restaurants weren't really a thing here then.
No.
And I was dating an Australian guy. And he, his brother lived in London and lived near a Thai restaurant. I'd never had Thai food. Blew my mind, because they were flavours I'd never...
Yeah.
Galangal, lemongrass. I'd never had it before.
And you remember it to this day?
I remember what I had. I had Tom Kha Gai, that chicken soup, and then I had Pad Thai, and it blew my mind.
That's very sweet. It's been quite a sweet one this week, hasn't it? It's been quite nice.
Yeah.
You started it by saying you'd get emotional if I talked about my holiday romance rather than laughing in my face. So thank you for that.
I just feel so sad for that boy.
Yeah, he's all right. Turned out all right. He's achieved far more than he deserved to, put it that way. If I'd have known that was good research for a career in comedy, I'd have been absolutely fine. I thought I was wasting my life at the time and it was quite bleak. If you want to go back to February 1998 and hear Catatonia's Kerris Matthews talking to Tim Burgess, you could do so tomorrow at 10 p.m. on Absolute Radio. So that is it from myself and Angela for this week.
What a lovely morning.
Sarah Champion is standing by, chomping at the bit to take you up to Emil at 2 o'clock, and then it's Ben Burrell's Indie Disco Classic Rock Party with Claire Sturgis. We'll be back next Saturday, along with the return of rock and roll football.
Hey, they're back.
Some football is back. Have you caught up with any of the League One or Scottish SPL action,
Angela?
Oh, yeah,
but we haven't got time to chat about it now, John.
We'll have a good chat about it off air.
Yeah.
This is usually the bit where we sort of wrap up what's happened and name the podcast. I don't think it's ever been easier, has it?
No, it's De Beers or on Will.
What a joyful moment. Just, you can do all the prep you like, and you do, yourself and Charlie, you get everything ready for us. We've got all our clips, we've got everything ready. But there's something about just turning up to have a moment. You couldn't script that moment in a thousand years.
No, well, if you scripted it, people would say nobody would believe that.
If you put that in
what
a sitcom.
Sort of Wally would make that mistake?
Yeah. It's just joyful. So thank you for the laughter that you have brought to my life, Will.
Yes, Will.
And to you, Angela, because if you hadn't said the thing you'd said...
Never would have happened.
I feel I've been a passenger this week.
I set him up, Will knocked him down.
I've been in the back of a wonderful Uber. It's been an absolute joy. Thank you for all your input. There will be a podcast of the show entitled De Beers Are On Will, available wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back next week. If you want to get in touch, if anything you see during the week makes you think, oh, that would make them laugh, it's John at absoluteradio.co.uk. Sarah Champion next. Thank you, Angela. Thank you, Will.
Thank you, John.
Bye-bye.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
So there we go.
John, I'm still hurt from laughing. You can't make me laugh that much.
It's going to make me smile all day.
It is one of those things that will pop in your head where you're just minding your own business and you'll laugh out loud.
I was just going to see a can of Cronenberg and it's going to remind me of it. Just anything is going to set me off. Oh, no. I've gone again. Right. We'll be back next week on Absolute Radio at 8 in the morning.
Oh,
doesn't feel like it, though, does it?
No, it doesn't.
You know.
We're bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, John.
We are bright-eyed. It's like the breakfast TV of the 90s.
but without the drugs.
Without the drugs or the threat of swearing. Well, I don't know, maybe one day. Email John at absoluteradio.co.uk if you'd like to. You don't have to, of course. And do you know what? Can I just say this as well? Don't email your feedback. I'm sick of the amount of emails I get asking me for feedback on things.
Oh,
these companies are pathetic.
Everything you buy. And let me tell you, however much I like the product, if you email me to ask for feedback on it, you're not getting it.
I had one from an energy supplier saying, last chance to tell us what you think. It's like a last chance.
Oh, I better get in quick then.
Oh, what are you going to do? Come round.
Cut me off.
I want us to know what you thought about the gas supply, actually, and you didn't tell us. So just take it as read that you can enjoy the John Richardson Show on Absolute Radio, and you can keep your opinions to yourself. You can tell me, of course you can, in the street or on social media, but there's no obligation to do so. Have a wonderful week. Thank you, Angela.
Thank you, John.
Will. Toodle pip.
Bye.